I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 as we read verses 8 through 15, or the first part of verse 15. In the Pew Bible, you will find it on pages 1063 and 1064. 2 Peter 3, starting in verse 8. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of persons ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be kindled and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But according to his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you wait for these, be zealous to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace, and count the forbearance of our Lord as salvation. You know, I've told you all before about a cartoon that I have in a file in my office. It used to hang up in the office. It's a comic strip that I cut out decades ago. The comic strip is the preacher, and he's the guy that wears the black hat and the black suit. It was drawn by my mother's cousin, Doug Marlette, who for a long time was the political cartoonist for the Charlotte News and Observer. In the first frame, the preacher is sitting there with his hands folded, and he is praying with his head bowed quietly, "Lord, give me patience." In the second frame, his head is still bowed with nothing being said. In the third frame, looking toward heaven, "Well," we laugh at those kinds of things, while realizing that far too often, he is us. I know that's not good English, but still. But you know, we are a difficult group when it comes to thinking about patience, and when it comes to preaching about patience. And yes, you all know that when it comes to driving, I'm not very patient. Right? Bill Wilson, in an article that he writes, reminds us about the way we live our lives. And I quote, "We start every day by seeking out a clock to tell us what time it is. We time every portion of our day down to the minute, from our shower to the drive to work or school to the time it takes to walk to the office or to the classroom. We live in a just-in-time framework, organizing our lives so that we leave just enough time to do whatever and then get on to the next place or the next item." End of quote. Except for those that live by Piedmont time. Now, when we come to this passage today, we find the writer saying that we must come to appreciate things and words like patience, waiting, uncertainty, if we are to understand how God works. And those are not words that we really like to deal with a lot of times, do we? Waiting. When is the last time that you enjoyed waiting to get in to see the doctor? And then they wonder why your blood pressure's up. If we looked at Paul's writings, we'd also find that patience is right near the top of lists of what we are to have as part of our lives. When we begin to think about patience, and by the way, you may have noticed on the sign, there's only one word, patient, with an exclamation. And I was not very patient the other day when I put it up there because there were only two exclamation points, one for each side of the sign. So I wanted to say, patience, patience. But when we begin to think about patience, we might use an older phrase to describe it. A biblical phrase or term that's often used is long-suffering, something that often makes us uncomfortable, right? Long-suffering. It makes us uncomfortable, and certainly long-suffering and patience is not very prized in today's society, is it? Instant this, instant that. Wait a minute, you mean I have to wait? You know, we used to wait for dial-up. Now, if the computer doesn't boot up in nanoseconds, we're impatient. And let's be frank here. There are times when we've been impatient with God, right? We glibly say, wait on the Lord's timing. Or God's timing is perfect, though it's different from our own. But how often does that really satisfy us? How many times do we say, okay, Lord, I can't handle this anymore. I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to wait on you. And as soon as we think he's turned his back or forgotten about it, we snatch it right back again and try and do it ourselves. Well, the writer today, if it is Peter, is writing in a time when many Christians were very anxious about a lot of things. And they had lost patience in many ways with the teachings of Jesus' return. They were anxious about life. They were anxious about things going on around them. They were anxious and impatient because they expected Jesus to come back any day. Even Paul, when he wrote his early letters, had that expectation that Jesus would return any moment. And yet, Jesus hadn't come back yet in the way that they expected. And they began to wonder why. Bless you. They began to wonder why. And if they might miss out on it. That was part of the anxiety. Similar to Paul's writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where he says, you folks, don't get upset because your Christian brothers and sisters and parents have died before Jesus' return, because they're going to get to his presence before you. But don't be overly anxious about those things. Because when you do get that anxious about them, you're showing a lack of hope. In verses 8 through 10 here then, we find the writer speaking to what we might term as the Orthodox believers. You may or may not be aware that at the churches to which Peter was writing, and in that time, in a lot of different churches, there were heretics. There were folks that were changing the gospel for their own end. There were folks that were seeking to bring in worship from other Greek and Roman religions. Some of them, after all, had been converted from the cult of Dionysus or some other religious persuasion. And they're here trying to incorporate that into their worship. And so he's speaking here to these believers who are beginning to ask questions about, well, if Jesus hadn't come back yet, what's going to happen with all this stuff that's going on? And so he speaks to those who have become impatient, not only with the folks around them, but in some ways, impatient with God. Have you ever been there? Oh, Lord, when is such and such going to happen? Or when are you going to answer this prayer? We know of one who has died recently, Bill, and was mentioned at his funeral that Bill, for the last few years, kept wondering why God was still leaving him here. Why didn't God take him on? And I've heard that from a lot of folks over the years. And so these folks were impatient with God because God had not come back and they had not gone on. He warns them, though, not to become complacent because of this impatience. Not to become complacent, not to give up, but rather to remember. To remember that this one fact must not escape you, that God is different and God's timing is different and God's timing will be appropriate for your life, regardless of what happens. In fact, literally, this one fact must not escape you, is how we could translate this text here. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved. This one fact should not escape you. That is, you who believe, you who are trusting. Then he quotes from Psalm 90, verse 4. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, I've told you before about folks that I know, a co-worker of my father's who used it as a formula to try and figure out when the end of the world was going to be. It's not a formula. It's a simile. But it's a simile meant to help us to understand that we should not ignore God or God's promises, that God is so far above and beyond us that we should remember who He is and what He does. In verse 5 earlier in this chapter, he had stated that scoffers ignore God, and scoffers ignore God's promises. But true believers need not ignore God's eternity. You know, for us, think about it. 1,000 years seems like an eternity, right? Well, for children, from one Christmas to another is an eternity, correct? Or from one birthday to another one's an eternity. But with God, 1,000 years is just a blip on the timeline of eternity. Drawing attention here to the difference between God who provides and provides forever, not just in one moment, but in each and every moment. Albert Barnett writes, and I quote, "Faith orients man to eternity, whereas scoffers remain children trapped in time. Believers are, for this reason, undisturbed by the delay of the parousia," the second coming, end of quote. To God, all events are present. Whenever God chooses to look, all events are in the present, regardless of how far in our past or how far in our future they may be. And it includes beginning as well as ending. Not only the beginning of time and the ending of time as we know it, but the beginning and endings of eras within our lives as well. And so we need to remember those things, he says. Do not ignore the fact that the Lord is not slow about His promises. His promises are still there. It's just sometimes we're impatient. Well, not sometimes. A lot of times. But you know, we don't like slowness, do we? Some of us will flash our lights and blow our horn when we pass you if you've been going too slow. And if you speed up when it's a passing zone and slow down again when it's in a non-passing zone, we'll really blow our horn. Right? We don't like slowness. And sometimes we interpret slowness as not being trustworthy. As not being trustworthy. Peter addresses this here with the understanding that slowness does not indicate indifference on God's part. In fact, slowness in our estimation does not indicate impotence on God's part, as some of the scoffers at that time were suggesting. Now, I know this has nothing to do with the 21st century. Scoffers questioning God. But back then it did. The seeming delay here, he says, is actually a matter of hope. Hope for you and hope for others. As he says, the delay in the fulfillment of that promise is God's forbearance, God's patience with us and with our world. Because God's desire is not that anyone should miss out. If all times are present for God, the delay is because God is waiting for those who will come to Him. He is giving ample opportunity for those who will come to Him in Christ, so that they won't be cut short. And after all, if we think about it, even we who have come to that realization, God waited on us, right? He gave us the ample time to make those decisions. The day of the Lord is a certainty, and it will come quickly when it comes, and nothing we can do and nothing anyone else can do will stop it, nor will it rush God's work. contrary to some of those preachers out there who are wanting to bring about Armageddon. They can't until God's timing is right. So what's the primary emphasis here for us then? Is there something more than simply be patient, it'll all work out, which isn't really a satisfying thing, is it? Peter indicates that since God is slow to anger and is patient in delaying the second coming, this means that we are to use this time to live patiently as Christian. And what sort of persons are we to be as Christian? How are we to live in holiness and godliness? By the way, which are not temporary things. Holiness and godliness are eternal things. It's not say, okay, well, I'm going to be holy today and then I've got it knocked. Holiness and godliness is something that we are to live throughout our lives. As we wait, and my text says, hasten the day. What's really interesting is this particular word in Greek, as we wait patiently and expectantly, this particular word, speudo, means to earnestly desire. To earnestly desire that day. Holmerhausen writes that the word means here both hastening and desiring. Sins of people delay the coming as God gives us opportunities. Prayer and godliness that brings others to Christ helps to hasten the coming when full righteousness can be achieved. So by living those kinds of lives and praying for others and helping others and earnestly desiring that others come to God, we help the end to come because we help others come to that sense of righteousness. Peter further reiterates this in verse 14 when he speaks to the beloved believers and states they are not to live idly nor negatively, but rather we are to live our lives as best we can with the help of each other and with God to be without spot or blemish. And we are to be at peace. Peace with ourselves, peace with God, and consequently peace with others. The outlook on the future within the believer is to count on God's forbearance as salvation. Salvation not only for us, but the opportunity to repent for us and for others. After all, as I said before, we have been given that same opportunity, have we not? In our own lives. And as we might be impatient with how life goes for us, as we might be impatient with time as it moves forward in our lives, we are called by God to be patient, to show the same forbearance towards others that God has, and to use the time that we have to patiently live in greater, proper relationships with God, with each other, and even with that person we don't like who put the fence 6 inches over the property line. Wilson writes, cultivating patience in a culture that is obsessed with productivity and speed is no easy task. But this fruit of the Spirit that is so clearly a trait of God is one that we must have to have good spiritual health. Patience. Well, no. Patience is a virtue, but patience is also the work of being Christian. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for caring for us, not just at one time, at one moment in history, but throughout eternity. Help us not only to find that patience with you, but help us to exhibit that forbearance and long-suffering and patience with and for others, that they too may count it as righteousness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a few moments after our closing hymn, we will come to table. We will come to share in remembrance of Christ's coming in a time where His world was very impatiently looking for Messiah, looking for hope and release from enemies, even within themselves. And so as you sing hymn number 778, may each of us also remember that while someday it will be sweet, in the meantime, patience. The patience of God, whose timing in Christ is always perfect. Hymn number 778, Sweet By and By.